Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall, the old fan, the new fan, and the UK fan. We are back for the sixth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. We're going to be talking about Jalen Waddle going to the Miami Dolphins. I have my co-host Adam Martin back with me. Andrew Manning back after his hiatus last week, but it was to go and look at a wedding venue, so we'll let him off this time. But we have Simon joining us from the Dolphin UK contributor, one of the biggest fan clubs for the Miami Dolphins in the UK. A very impressive duo of jerseys there behind you, Simon. Very, very nice indeed.
Yeah, thanks, Freddie. Good to be on, guys. Thanks for the invite. And yeah, the jerseys are quite new, actually. They're making their podcast debut today, so I've not been up for very long. So if you do, anyone who does see the video of this, will see it for themselves, of course.
Well, we're all about a little bit. We've had a little bit of breaking news on, I think, every single little podcast that's personal for people and stuff like that. So that's breaking, but the Mourinho and Tagovailoa jerseys are up and ready to go, and very nice they are as well. So lots of movement in the draft for the Miami Dolphins. Simon, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but it got to your pick at six. I think it was an interesting pick. Jamar Chase was obviously a very hot favorite to go to Miami. He goes to the Bengals. We've obviously this week been talking about a duo of wide receivers, Jamar Chase going to the Bengals, and now Jalen Waddle going to the Dolphins. What was your reaction when the pick went through and Jalen Waddle's name was read out and he came out onto the stage holding that Dolphins jersey?
I mean, myself and my other co-hosts on the Dolphin UK pod, Lee and Andy, we've had this conversation and we weren't surprised. We were always of the opinion it was going to be one of Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle, for the reasons that if they'd have been interested in the likes of Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase or even Penei Sewell, they'd have stayed at three. So the fact that they traded down to 12 and back up to six was a clear indication to me that they were always going to go after one of those two Alabama guys. Which one of the two? I think it was probably a bit 50-50, but ultimately they've gone for Jalen Waddle, and you can understand the reasons for that. And I mean, and he's going to be a solid pick, I think. So pleased with the pick. I don't think there would have been a bad pick at number six. But ultimately, they went with Waddle, of course, and we've got to be satisfied with that.
Who did you want, Simon?
Well, I'd have gone for Devonta Smith, to be fair, because I looked at his production during the 2020 college season when he won that Heisman Trophy, of course, and I looked at those numbers and his performances, and I thought it would be really hard to turn down a Heisman-winning trophy wide receiver at that position. Obviously, the Dolphins thought otherwise because they had Jalen Waddle ranked number two on their overall draft board behind Trevor Lawrence. But as I said, there wouldn't have been a bad pick at that selection, so Waddle at six is more than satisfactory.
So we've already mentioned two of the names there from Alabama with Smith and Waddle, obviously. This guy's also had to sort of share the stats with Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs as well. And I know in his last season in 2020, Waddle got off to an absolute flyer. He was incredible until his injury. But what impressed you the most with his time at Alabama? What impressed you?
I think there's two elements to his game that stand out. One is his blazing speed. He's got multiple gears. He can hit the gas out of his brakes. He's got that explosiveness that where he can demolish that man or zone coverage. And also one stat I'd like to throw at you, and I like a good Simon stat. he's averaged 18.9 yards per catch in his career, which is the second best in school history behind only Ozzie Newsome. So he's a yak monster. He's 52.7% of his career receiving yards have come after the catch. And you look at that blazing speed and it's just awesome when you see him on the field. So that's the first element of his game that stands out. And then, of course, the second element of his game that he's known for is his return ability as well. I mean, in 2019, as a sophomore, he was the first team All-SEC as a return specialist, and he won SEC Special Teams Player of the Year in 2019 as a sophomore, and that speaks volumes for his talent as well. So those two, his blazing speed and his return ability, are his two standout qualities.
Are you worried about him doing returns for the team? Obviously, that's where he picked his injury up in 2020. Would that be a worry for you that could happen again and you really need him on the wide receiver core?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would prefer him to see him as a primarily a wide receiver, because don't forget, we've got Jakeem Grant, who's Also a good, or well, very good return specialist. So there would be no reason to take that risk as a return guy. However, Brian Flores likes his players to be versatile, and Waddle's got that versatility of being a receiver and a return guy. So don't be surprised to see Waddle back there fielding kickoffs or punts, especially if Jakeem Grant doesn't make the 53, because now they've signed Waddle and Will Fuller, and you've got Parker, you've got Williams, you've got Gesicki. Jakeem Grant is not an out-and-out wide receiver. His main ability is returning kickoffs and punts, and if he doesn't make the roster, then you will see Waddle back there on punts and kickoffs, definite, I think. But yeah, there is that risk. Sorry, Freddie. There is that risk. Go ahead. We've seen, obviously, he got his broken leg during that return last year, and you have to wonder whether that's going to cause any medical concerns. But as long as he's fully fit, they've got to catch him first, haven't they?
Yeah, he got that in October against Tennessee, and then was back for the Ohio State game in January. I mean, half of the reason we're doing this sort of future of the franchise series is I for one, as main host, don't watch loads of college football. I'm trying to get back into it and everything like that. And I do watch the highlights. Jalen Waddle was a name I knew pre-draft in January. I knew that name and I knew he was going to be a top pick player. But watching some highlights today, just the pop factor, like the wow factor. And like you said, the yak is just an absolute yak monster. Every time he gets the ball, he makes magic, and he's strong and fast. I mean, that must be so exciting for a Dolphins fan. It was an exciting season last year for you guys. There was loads of positives we've taken out. But then to see someone who really pops as an NFL talent on your TV screen, that's going to do great for ticket sales. It's going to do great for the fans in general, for the team. I mean, it must have been so exciting. And I know you said you liked Smith, but it's a win-win pick, wasn't it, really, Six?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the Dolphins last year, but their wide receiver core really struggled in separation against defensive backs. I think their receivers ranks near the bottom of the league in gaining separation between themselves and the defense. But now they've signed Will Fuller and they've got Waddle, and they've got those guys now that can take the top off. And give Tua, because Tua was effectively having to throw in tight windows all the time. Now he's got two guys who can effectively just take off downfield and give Tua that additional option to throw to his receivers. So it's what they needed. It's what the offense needed. And they've got now two guys who can do that. And Waddle in particular, being a rookie, is obviously the one to watch.
Do you think that the having Tua there and having a coach like Brian Flores as well, do you think that will help Jalen Waddle integrate into the NFL well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jalen Waddle is a Brian Flores guy. He's versatile. He's a hard worker. He's a team player and he's a competitor. And they're all traits that Brian Flores absolutely loves in all of his players. So that's going to set him up well for integration into the NFL and to the Dolphins. He's already got that connection with Tua, of course, as well, which he had at Alabama. So I believe they're constructing a new playbook this year, specifically to account for Tua's strength. And obviously, with a player on his team now who's very familiar with, you'd like to think they're going to be designing some plays, especially to integrate Tua and Waddle quickly.
Also, there's the competitive nature. I mean, Tua and Waddle get paired back up together at Alabama. Jalen Hurts has been paired up back with Devontae Smith. I know Hurts was at Alabama for a bit, and Smith, obviously, at Alabama. Do you think they both of them are going to have that competitive edge going like, we want to be better than that duo, or like Burrow and Chase going together from LSU? Do you think they've had conversations with each other going like, look, you know, rookie year, me and you teaming back up, we know we can set the league alight. Is there going to be that competitor aspect against other young quarterbacks and their rookie wide receivers that they've been paired back with?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be that comparison because they've all come out in the same draft. I don't necessarily think they'll be doing it between themselves because they're very much team first. But I think the likes of you and I in the media, they're always going to be comparing those partnerships, especially with all of them having relatively young quarterbacks who are entering their second or third year as well. So I think there's always going to be that comparison, but I would imagine that's probably going to be more so in the media than anywhere else.
Oh, it's going to be inevitable on Good Morning Football, The Herd, Shannon's giving, it is going to be a section in it in the season about comparing these guys that have all linked back up together for sure.
We've kind of spoke about how good Waddle is and, you know, his explosiveness and his downfield threat and everything like that. But what do you think his challenges and his potential weaknesses are going into the NFL?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. There are a couple that I've earmarked in terms of weaknesses, and the first one is his experience. He entered the draft this year having opted out of his senior season, so he's only had 3 years at Alabama instead of the traditional four, and of course he had that injury during his junior season, which so he missed a large chunk of that as well. So in reality, he's only had 2 seasons at Alabama, and bearing in mind he was following the likes of Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy, and he had Devonta Smith on the team as well, of course, he's actually had single-digit starts in his career. So he's very inexperienced in that respect. And the other thing as well to bear in mind that he's quite a smallish target. He doesn't have impressive size measurables. His running skills are still developing, and he doesn't have that body power to be a high volume tackle breaker in the NFL, I don't think. So he does rely purely on that speed. So there are a couple of areas of his game to work on from a technical perspective, but I think the experience as well, having only had 2 years at Alabama, I think once he settles down and gets settled into the team and into the NFL, I don't think it'll be a problem. Once he gets some time under his belt, I think long term he'll be absolutely an asset. But it's just something to consider as he's finding his feet, I think.
So sort of moving away just slightly from Waddle and just like the draft as a whole. I mean, we all know that, you know, your general manager, Chris Greer, he loves a trade. It's ridiculous how many trades this guy's been doing since he's been there. But were you happy with the initial movement that the Dolphins had before the draft started?
If you weren't, Simon, we all were, because it was well exciting for the rest of us as NFL fans.
It was. I mean, we had that trade down with the Niners to 12, and we all wondered, you know, what the hell's going on? Because they've just pretty much done themselves out of a top receiver, because we ultimately, none of them were going to fall that far, you would have thought at the time. So we were all talking amongst ourselves on our WhatsApp chat with Lee and Andy around, what are they doing? But then, obviously, that was followed shortly after by the move with the Eagles back up to 6, and they think, yes, they've got a plan, stick to the plan. And Chris Greer actually came out after the draft and said that they wouldn't have made the trade with the Niners down to 12 unless they'd have had a route back up to 6 again. And 6 was that spot where they knew they were going to get the guy of their choice. Neither Smith nor Waddle, I think, were going to go in the top 5. And as that was proved to be the case. So I think they got their positioning spot on in the draft. And as I said earlier, had the likes of Pitts, Chase or Sewell been at the top of their draft board, they'd have stuck at 3. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to guarantee that selection. So the moves Chris Greer made were absolutely spot on in the end. And ultimately, what they've now ended up with is extra picks in 2023.
I mean, was there any sort of regret over it? I mean, because the thing is, if you had been at number 3, you could have brought in someone like Kyle Pitts, who obviously wasn't available to you. Now, I know that you've got Gesicki already. But I mean, was there any sort of feeling of, I wish we'd gone that way instead?
I don't think it's a question you can answer right now, because they had Waddle as the number 2 ranked player on their draft board, and they got him. I think, again, it's always going to be a comparison in the media. You're always going to compare Waddle's career with Smith, with Chase and with Pitts, because they all, in theory, could have been a Dolphin selection. So I don't think the Dolphins themselves regret that pick at all. But again, it's going to be the likes of the fans and the media who are always going to make that comparison between the other receivers, particularly if one's going to be a bust and one isn't. And it's always going to be a media question around, well, what if they'd have chosen Pitts, or what if they'd have gone the chase route? But so I don't think it's a question you can worry about right now. That, like I said, everybody's happy with the selection, but it's certainly going to be comparisons down the years for sure.
As a fan and a man who's got the finger on the pulse of the Dolphins UK fan base and the US, I can imagine as well. You said about them moving down 3-12, and it was a little bit like, what are you doing? What's going on? Then you move back to 6. Was there entire trust within the organization as a fan base to be like, oh, we know what we're doing? Well, we moved down to 12, but I trust that we're going to either move back up, or if we get there, we will pick the player that will benefit our team. Was there any? There wasn't any. you know, when you look at some of the organizations like the Jets or the Jags, who have maybe moved in times, and people have been like, oh God, what are you doing? Well, the Texans, prime example, with the fan base not trusting the back office at all, and rightly so. Was there trust in amongst the fan base that Greer was going to sort it out and it was all going to work out in the draft?
Yeah, that's the thing with this regime. Chris Greer and Brian Flores have gained the trust of the Dolphins fan base. Had this happened with a previous regime like Mike Tannenbaum, or going back even further with the likes of Jeff Ireland and co, the fan base would have been up in arms, because they had it that historically they tended to screw up the draft and screw up free agency. Whereas this regime under Flores and Greer, they've proved now that they have earned that trust with the fan base and they are getting it right. You only sort of have to look at the progress they made from year one to year two of Coach Flores's time as top dog, that they are getting it right. They are moving in the right direction. So I think from that perspective, they've earned the trust of the fan base. And the fact that the two moves happened really, really quickly, I don't think it really gave a huge amount of time for them, for the fan base, to throw their arms up in the air and think, God, what are you doing? As I said, they already had the trade with the Eagles lined up straight away as soon as the deal with the Niners went through. So they've certainly earned that trust.
Yeah, I mean, ever since Brian Flores has been there, it kind of feels like it's been a much better run organisation. And like you say, with Chris Greer as well. I mean, last year they had a good season and were kind of a bit, in a way, a little bit unfortunate to not. The Bills did really well, so it was going to be tough to win that division. But do you think that Brian Flores is actually someone who can push you on and make you a genuine contender in a few years to come, or even next year?
That's a big question. I think with the selections they made in the first round and the second round, they managed to pick up their top-ranked safety in early round two. They managed to get a starting offensive tackle in later in the second round. So that's, and of course, we don't forget Jalen Phillips later in the first. So they've now picked up four quality starters in the first two rounds, all of which filled positions of need. And considering Tua is going to expect it to make that jump between year one and year two, as a lot of rookies are, they're certainly in a good position to continue that upward trajectory that they've already shown between years one and two, and now two and three of since Flores has been in charge. You look at going back 2 years when they were ranked the worst team in the NFL and weren't expected to win hardly any games, if at all, and they ended up winning five. And that was on the back of the worst roster in the NFL. And then, of course, last year, they moved up even further and won 10 wins with a rookie quarterback who was coming off a really serious hip injury, who was getting slated in the press, who was without a preseason, without training camps, having to do everything via Zoom. And they still managed to get 10 wins. So again, now everything's relatively normal in terms of pre-season preparation and the training camps and the OTAs and the pre-season games, and Tua has been working hard in the off-season to develop himself and get his fitness back to a more sustainable level, then everything's pointing in the right direction for an improved year this year.
Yeah, with Tua taking that next step up and everything like that. And, you know, you bring in an offensive weapon like Jalen Waddle. You brought in Will Fuller, like you said, and you've got Parker there, Lynn Bowden, Preston Williams, Jakeem Grant. Admittedly, not really anything at running back. I feel like that's not really been addressed. I'm not fully thrilled with what's going on at running back there for you. But is this a sign that they're going to give Tua every opportunity to succeed, and that we are going to have, in Miami, a very fun, fast-paced... Oh, with Gesicki as well, I completely forgot to mention him. Is this a sign that, you know, it's going to be a fun, fast-paced, exciting offense? I mean, your defense last year was good. I think it's only rising. You've added to it. But are these picks and these signs within the organization showing us what the future does hold for Miami, and that is that upward trajectory still? Because as NFL UK fans, we're loving it. Like, I think we can all say that we really enjoyed Miami doing so well last year. Such a historic franchise. And like you said, only 2 years prior, worst team in the NFL, which is absolutely ludicrous now when we think about it, because it's a franchise now that has so much excitement in there.
Yeah, it is. And you're right to mention the running back position. And if any area of the team that has not been addressed, it's actually that. I mean, Myles Gaskin was probably about average last year, but don't forget he was working with a below par offensive line. They had a receiving core that and was consistently covered by the opposing defences because they couldn't gain that separation. And he still managed to perform as just about average. So now you've got that open passing game. You've got the improved offensive line. You've got hopefully an improved quarterback play as well. That everything points to the running game also improving. So the fact that they didn't address it in the draft was a bit of a head scratcher, admittedly, because they had opportunities to grab Najee Harris at 18. And they chose not to. They reportedly tried to trade back into the first round to get Travis Etienne. They couldn't manage that. They had Javonta Williams go to Denver the pick before in round two that they were scheduled to pick. So the opportunities were there. They just didn't quite manage it. So it is an area of concern, but hopefully the fact that they've got all of the pieces in around that position, hopefully it should open up, make that offense much more wide open to be sustainable throughout the season.
Which running back would you have liked to have seen gone there then? Because obviously, like, you have, when you look at who you drafted, you've brought in some good players. I mean, it means you're going to lose someone in order to bring one in. So, I mean, which one would you have liked to bring in, and who would have gone?
You don't need to think about Najee. He's in the black and gold and he's here to stay. So don't you worry about him playing in the teal of Miami. He's all about the Steelers now, that man.
Yeah, we were very much, myself and Lee, on the co-host of the Dolphin UK pod, we were very much on the Najee Harris train, and he was absolutely our pick at 18. Again, another Alabama player, of course, with who's got that connection with Tua and with Waddle. So he so when he didn't go through 18 and they selected Phillips, you could see the reasons why they chose for Phillips, because again, edge was certainly a weakness on the defense and definitely a position of need. The concussions were a concern with him, I have to say. He's been medically retired once. There was a question mark over his commitment, but I think that was more to do with the fact that he didn't get on with his college coach. But he's got plenty of upside. I mean, he's really explosive. So the disappointment of not having Harris has partly been offset by having Jalen Phillips, but Harris would have been the dream pick at 18.
There's still some big name running backs on the free agency that you could potentially pick up if you wanted to strengthen it.
No, not a fan of Gurley. I think Gurley's knees have actually had it, to be fair. I don't think he's got much of a future left. Le'Veon Bell, again, didn't really prove himself at Kansas City when he signed last year. Again, he was rumoured to be interesting in the Dolphins, and I think it was between them and KC at the end who he chose to join, but he didn't really do anything either. So not particularly enamoured by any of those two veterans. I would say Gaskin certainly would fit their offense a lot more. I'd be very surprised. And of course, the one name we haven't mentioned is Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. I mean,
how much has he got left? How are we still talking about Adrian Peterson in 2021? It's just mental, isn't it?
It is. So could he be a mentor for somebody like Gaskin and Salvan Ahmed and Gerard Dokes, who was the rookie, of course? So he's not going to be a 20 to 30 ball carry per game play like he used to, but he could come in there and take some carries away to give him a breather or provide that experience to a relatively young running back group. But overall, I don't think I'm necessarily in favour of signing a vet.
Isn't it mental that in 4 years, Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley are like not wanted? Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they were like the hottest. Todd Gurley was the hottest property at the Rams that season. He was so good.
Yeah. He's missing time though, isn't it? You know, the fact is, it's like, you know, Bell sat out for a year, so he kind of like lost a step because of that. Gurley was out injured for almost a year, so that's another reason. It's like, this is what happens. If you miss any time, then you just fall away.
I think you mean Lev Bell was out there gaining a very successful rap career, because clearly his talents were very good doing that, which, not that I've ever listened to a Lev Bell rapping or anything like that. Speaking of players, veterans, actually, one player who did leave Miami in the offseason was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing bombs down the field to Jalen Waddle is all would be a dream for all of us. I mean, that'd be a pretty fun tandem. But do you think that will affect Tua not having him in the quarterback room due to his experience in his head? Because I feel like, at first, it was like Fitzpatrick's going to be his biggest cheerleader. He said that. He said he'd support him. Then Tua comes in, even though Fitz had done really well for the first few weeks for Miami. And then it sort of turned like Fitzpatrick's not happy. He's a bit, you know, been stabbed in the back a little bit. He played so well and they've just forced Tua in, even though he was doing good. But Ryan Fitzpatrick sort of said, oh, well, all right, I'm disappointed, but I get it. This is the business, this is football. Do you think it would have been maybe good to keep him in the... I know you brought Jacoby Brissett in, which does give you another sort of offensive weapon, because we saw him do a lot of things with Indianapolis last year when Phil Rivers was starting. But would it have been good to maybe keep someone like him? Because Tua is still learning, like I said, and he didn't play a full season last year. And it would be good having that veteran experience in the quarterback room.
I think you're right. Ryan Fitzpatrick was a great mentor for Tua in year one. He provided that guidance on a day-to-day basis, particularly with missing out on your traditional pre-season or training camps or OTAs. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the ideal guy to help Tua along. But I think that time for it was the right thing to part ways. It's Tua's team. He needs to be given the reins to learn how to lead the team, how to play every down, every game. I think last year, Brian Flores was, if there was any particular criticism, it came because he kept pulling Tua in favour of Fitzpatrick and didn't let the rookie learn and buy his experience. Ultimately, it was beneficial for the team because they were winning. But from a development perspective from Tua, to have that carry on in year two, I think would have been more detrimental to his development. So I think the parting of the ways was absolutely the right move, because Fitzpatrick wants to play, Tua needs to play. And the only way they were going to do that was if Fitzpatrick moved on, as he, of course, did to the Redskins. So Fitzpatrick was awesome to watch, don't get me wrong. It was great seeing him play for such an old man and who's got such a big beard. He was great. His time at the Dolphins was superb, but as I said, the time was right to move on and let Tua lead the team. It's Tua's team now.
Are you looking forward to the London game that's coming up in October? Obviously, at home against the Jags, it's I know you've been over a few times, and you know I'm a Packers fan, so I've yet to see them at all. But are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, we're pretty spoiled because this will be the fifth time the Dolphins have come over.
Fifth time?
Yeah, so they've not got a good record, actually. They've only beaten the Raiders as the away team, but every time they've been the home team, they've lost. So they've lost to the Jets, the Saints, and the Giants, of course, back in 2007. So
look at Andy's little smile there. He's like, yeah, the Giants.
So the fact that they're now the away team again probably, hopefully, works in our favour. And of course, the fact that they are an away team as well means that they don't have to give up that home game at Hard Rock Stadium either, and they get the extra home game as the 17th game as well. So from a scheduling perspective, it works out in our favour. And from a British fan perspective, of course, it's another opportunity to see the team. At Spurs, of course, all the other Dolphins games have been at Wembley. Interesting enough, so it'll be nice to see them at a new stadium, and hopefully there'll be that clamour for tickets again. And don't expect it to be a Jags home game in terms of the crowd experience, because obviously, as you know, guys, Dolphins are a popular team in the UK, so I'm sure there's going to be just as many Dolphins fans as there are Jags fans for that game. But yeah, really looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll find a way to get tickets.
That'll be on October 17th, which I do believe is week 5. I think it might be week 5.
Six,
yeah,
I think.
Week 5. Yeah, week 6 then. We'll go week 6. Yeah, that'll be really exciting to see them at Spurs. And obviously, we'll get to see Jalen Waddle there. Hopefully, we'll get to see him there. We'll obviously get to see Tua. Should be really exciting. Are you guys, as a Dolphins fan group, going to be organising something with UK fans to be able to meet somewhere? Or is it going to be a bit more close at the time? Do you think there'll be something like that over the weekend?
Yeah, traditionally what we've done in the past, we've always tried to have a club do the night before the game.
Nice.
So we haven't arranged anything yet, but I'm sure that will materialise again. And in previous years, we've had special guests. So we had ex-Dolphins player Sean Wooden appear at a function last time the Dolphins were in London. We also had some of the Dolphins cheerleaders turn up as well, which is great to see them. And we have a traditional raffle to... Sean tends to bring over Dolphins related items that we're able to raffle off for charity. So hopefully we're going to do that again. This year we've got already got a signed Xavier Howard helmet that we've got stored up to raffle off as our top prize, I think. So whether we do that for a London game, yeah, I'm not sure. But we're fortunate enough as well to, we've got direct links with NFL UK. So in previous years, we've always managed to get our tickets through them. So hopefully we'll be able to get, go the same route again. No guarantees, of course, these days, but hopefully that should help. So yeah, it's going to be a full-on weekend, I think, for all Dolphins fans.
Well, that sounds good fun. If you're looking for a venue that's maybe a bit different, there's one over in Stratford. There's it's like a Philadelphia Eagles sports bar, but they've done a bigger one over in Stratford. They've just input a batting cage in there. So you can do like baseball batting in there, which might be pretty cool for the fans if you're looking for a different venue. Obviously, there's like the casino in town and stuff. But I don't, I'm like strongly, I do tell everyone about it. I'm like dead excited to go. I don't know why. I'm so hyped for it. I'll be rubbish. I know I will. But it's something to look forward to, isn't it? Simon, again, thank you for coming on with us. Hopefully, we will get to see you in person at one of the games. Again, tickets pending. I only live 15 minutes away from the stadium, so I'll certainly be down there knocking about anyway. So I'm sure we'll meet up at some point. Where can we find your Dolphins podcast and all your social media stuff?
Yeah. Thanks, Freddie. So on social media, you can find me at Dolphin_UK on Twitter, the podcast at Dolphin_UK_pod. And we've got a website as well, dolphin-uk.com. So check us out on all those social media outlets.
Especially. Well, thank you for coming on to again today. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Andrew. And we'll see all you guys next week for another episode of the Future of the Franchise Summer Series.